Coming up on today's show.
I think digital disconnection is an important topic because it leads into like so many moments in our life, and I feel like it can take away like a part of what it is to like exist together.
These walls have secrets.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, proud member of the Recording Academy, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net. Or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Oklahoma, my guest is a singer, songwriter, recording artist who has released 2 singles this year and has an EP in the pipeline as well. That project has been done in collaboration with a Swedish producer, as well as a Los Angeles-based producer who has worked with the likes of Jordan Sparks, Shawn Mendes, and Kelly Clarkson. My guest first gained attention 2 years ago with her debut album, and since then has continued building momentum through a thriving YouTube channel that has well over 400,000 subscribers and more than 36 million combined video views. Beyond her solo work, she is the songwriter behind Muse, the Shakespeare Mayhem musical, a genre-spanning production debuting in the UK. Her top 5 songs on Spotify have a combined total of approximately 177,000 streams, and she has almost 14,500 monthly listeners on that platform. You have been hearing a song of hers that came out in late March titled Braveheart. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Hannah Andrea.
Hi, thank you.
My pleasure, Hannah. Thanks ever so much for taking time out to talk with me today.
Of course. Excited to be here.
Let's get started by having you share about the song of yours that was just playing called Braveheart. I was talking over it so the listeners could not hear the lyrics uninterrupted. What is that song about?
Well, Braveheart is about, I like to describe it as being about strength and perseverance. Deciding that you don't have to change yourself to fit other people's expectations or to succeed in life, and that you really are enough the way you are, and you can be proud of that and happy about that. Yeah.
Now, eventually, we're going to start talking about the producers that you're working with, but Braveheart, I said that you're calling in from Oklahoma. You're usually in New Jersey, but was Braveheart a song that you wrote by yourself? Was it with producers? Was it with some other songwriters that are somewhere else, and it was a co-write? How did Braveheart come together?
Braveheart was written as a co-write in LA last summer. It was one of the first songs, if not the first song, I ever did in like a real co-write with like a whole group of songwriters. It was really fun. There was a producer in the room as well. So yeah, it was a whole group of us.
Is there anything in particular that the listeners should pay close attention to when they go and listen to that song on their own? I'm referring to, I don't know, maybe a special instrument they should listen for, maybe a vocal technique, maybe there's a portion of the song that was completely different from when it was first written. Is there anything like that that you want to highlight for when they listen to the song on their own?
Yeah, one of my favorite things about this song is all of the like swelling synth effects. There's like lots of really cool texture, detail sounds, especially in like the second half of the song. And that's something I just always personally love listening to. So I would listen for that.
Nice. Tell us about the EP that I referred to in the intro. When is it coming out? And why did that song, Braveheart, become the title track for it?
Well, the EP is coming out August 21st. I'm really excited for it. Braveheart became the title track for it because I felt like the themes of strength and perseverance and finding yourself is a theme that appears in all of the songs, or at least most of them on the EP. So it felt like a very encompassing title track that would set up expectations for the rest of the EP, as well as, like, I think it's a beautiful word, Braveheart, like learning to be strong from within. And I think that that's something that I want to explore a lot and that has been explored a lot on this EP.
So how many songs are going to be on the EP? And did you make that decision about Braveheart becoming the title track as the project began? Or is it, okay, now that it's finished, now I'm looking back and I'm saying, let's just call the EP Braveheart after the song?
Yeah, I think it's about 6 tracks on the EP. And yeah, that was a decision that was made in retrospect. I explored a lot of options. I was like, do I want to come up with a completely different title that's not one of the songs on the EP? Is there... what songs are most encompassing? But yeah, so I looked at a lot of options and Braveheart just really felt right.
I made references to them in the intro, but tell the audience who the producers are on Braveheart and not only who some of the influences were that were explored with this project, but tell us also about evolving beyond your debut album from 2 years ago.
Yeah, so for Braveheart, it was Mike in LA. He's a producer who's worked with the producer on my first album a lot. So that was that connection. Mm. And it was really cool because on my first album, it was only one producer for all of the songs. And he was honestly, I think, the only producer I've ever worked with. So it was really cool to step into a room with different people and to see how different people work in different ways. With the first album, I had written all the songs just by myself and, you know, my bedroom. And then I brought them in and been like, hey, like, let's figure out the productions on these and all that. But then for Braveheart and a lot of the songs on the EP, producers would bring in tracks and then we would write over them. And so it would be a completely different starting place, which was really interesting for me, yeah.
When you say they would bring in tracks and you would write over them, are you referring, say, to beats, or is it songs that were maybe demos and you kind of reworked some of them?
Mostly beats. I think maybe a couple of the songs were songs, maybe like one or so, were songs that were demos. And then we went in and we changed a little bit of melody, changed a bit of lyrics, you know, and all that stuff. But yeah, I think we worked from a lot of different angles on this EP, because there were also songs where we like just pulled out a guitar and then like started completely from scratch, or where we would have something, but then we would like move to the piano and change like a lot of the structure. So yeah, there's a lot of variety.
Well, so then to my question about evolving beyond your debut album from 2 years ago, it sounds like you absolutely did. And it probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it probably was an enjoyable process to you because of how much you were able to learn and grow that in the way that you just described.
Yes, it for sure was. It was such a learning process. And like, I'm really grateful for that. I mean, I love making art and like in any way, you know, but when you can really learn more about the industry you're in and what it's like to collaborate and communicate with people, that's just like even more valuable.
Yeah, I love that you just said the word collaborate, because that's exactly what I thought of. Is your first album, you wrote everything by yourself and you worked with one producer, and now you just described to us the many ways that these songs came together for the Braveheart EP and the fact that you worked with two producers. Now, the producer from your first album, is that the Swedish producer that I'm referring to that is one of the two that worked on Braveheart?
No.
Wow.
So my producer on my first album was actually based in Oklahoma, James Connor, and I still work with him a lot. He was in most of the songwrites as a songwriter on this new EP as well, and we work together all the time. But yeah, the producer we have in Sweden, he did the Starlight remix that was a part of my first album cycle. And so then on this new EP, I got to actually go to Sweden and, you know, write some like songs, I guess, from scratch with him. So that was really cool.
So then how does someone who spends the overwhelming majority of her time in New Jersey and is currently in Oklahoma get hooked up with somebody out in Los Angeles who's worked with Jordan Sparks, Shawn Mendes, Kelly Clarkson, artists of that level?
It's just connections. It's knowing people. Yeah, my producer in Oklahoma, he had worked with this producer a lot. And so he thought that we would be a great fit and all that. So that was that connection. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. I hope you all heard the interview 2 weeks ago with Johnny Reed. A, just because, but B, specifically the fact that I revealed another destination out on the road where I will be. Next month, I am headed back out west, specifically August 20th to the 22nd, the Las Vegas Songwriters Festival will be taking place at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino on the Strip, and yours truly will be there. I am finalizing dates for my time out there, as I will not just be there for the 3 days of that event. So watch the weekly e-newsletter and the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account when I post those details. In any case, if you or someone you know are or will be there, Las Vegas or the actual Songwriters Festival, please get in touch so we can meet, say hello, take a picture, talk about the podcast, and give me an opportunity to get to know you a bit and say a sincere thank you for listening to this podcast every week. I truly appreciate everyone who listens to the show, and I hope to maybe meet you out on the road. Hannah, probably because we played Braveheart at the beginning, we have spent the start of this interview talking only about that song and the EP. But while I know there will be family, friends, fans, and followers of yours coming to this episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, and to those folks, by the way, hello, welcome, thank you. Do check out some other episodes of the podcast. There have been a lot of great guests over the years. Hannah, there are going to be people hearing this conversation that are just being introduced to you for the first time. For that portion of the audience, talk about growing up in a bilingual household with parents who balanced artistic passions and professional careers, and how that foundation continues to shape your work ethic.
Yeah, I grew up with a Norwegian dad and an American mom. And so my whole life, I've been speaking Norwegian and English in my household. And I've been exposed to a lot of, you know, Norwegian culture growing up, like reading Norwegian books, watching Norwegian shows. It was very important for my family to make sure I was connected to that part of my identity. I would like go to Norway like every year, and I still do, and I went to school there for a period of time.
Wow.
So I have a lot of family and friends there. And you know, my parents were artistic. My mom did ballet for most of her life, and my dad plays the piano and is into music, and so they were always very supportive of, you know, me wanting to pursue whatever art it was I was interested in. I did theater for a really long time, and I hope I will continue to do theater, as well as like singing and, you know, trying my hand at various instruments and all that. So it was very nice to be in a family that understood art and valued it and wanted to support me, especially when I decided I wanted to make my career art and build that completely around art. To have people who understood that and valued that and wanted to support that was, you know, very, very special. But I think they also taught me a lot about time management and also valuing academics and education, because that's something that has been important to me as well my whole life, is, you know, getting good grades and learning and understanding the world. So I'm glad to sort of have both of those values surrounding me at all times, and, you know, that have also become a part of me.
You used the word supportive 3 times in your answer, but it's one thing to be supportive. It's another thing to have parents that say, we really want you to pursue the arts. We really want you to pursue theater. We really want you to pursue music. Were you given a choice, or is it, well, when you grow up with parents that do what I just described, Bruce, you know, you don't really have much choice?
No, they were never like that. I was never forced into doing anything I didn't want to do. It was very much came from me asking, from me wanting to dedicate my time to it, and then, you know, giving me an avenue to actually make my dreams come true and actually do that. So, yeah.
So I want to understand, though, your father played piano and your mother was a ballet dancer. Is this something that they did professionally, and that's how you were able to be influenced in terms of the work ethic that's required in the entertainment business? Or is it, you know, you're reading too much into it, they weren't professional piano players and ballet dancers?
They didn't work professionally. My mom considered doing ballet professionally, but then some things happened and she chose a different path. And my dad really just plays piano for fun, but you know, it's a very strong passion of his and one that I was always surrounded by. So I guess the work ethic in the entertainment industry is something I've learned over time by being in professional environments. Yeah.
You mentioned something a few minutes ago that wants me to ask you, is there any plan to become a singer-songwriter, guitar player, a singer-songwriter, piano player? Do you have your eye on honing your craft in terms of some musical instrument?
I think it would be great to learn more instruments. For me, a lot of what I do is singing and melody. And like, I think voice is the only instrument that I actually feel confident with. But I think that it is such an important like tool to understand guitar and piano. And I've like, been doing piano stuff on and off my whole life, but I've never like been very good at it. So I would love to, you know, get better at that. And I would love to learn guitar as well. I think it's a beautiful instrument.
So then just connect the dots for us, because you talked about a producer in Sweden and you were actually raised in both the United States and Norway. So neither one of those is Sweden. So how do you get connected with a producer in Sweden?
That's so funny, because I was just thinking about that and I don't actually remember what that exact connection was. I think it was something along the lines of somebody we knew reached out and they knew the person who maybe knew this person, or like it was some like super complicated just web of people knowing each other that I'm very grateful for. But yeah, it's Norway and Sweden are very close. So I mean, there's a lot of cultural connection there, but yeah, I actually don't remember how that came about.
So just talk a little bit further, though, about being raised in both the U.S. and Norway. How did that influence your creativity? How did it influence your worldview? How did being raised in both the U.S. and Norway influence your musical identity?
Well, I think I'm very inspired by, like, the nature in Norway. Like, every time I go there, it's so beautiful. And I feel like it really, like, it makes me want to write and, like, describe things and... So I don't know. I think about that a lot because I do a lot of writing in Norway just like by myself for fun. And I think like it does influence my worldview a lot because I'm like, that's my culture as well. So there's definitely like parts of me that I think are very Norwegian. And like sometimes I don't even notice that it is that until somebody says something, you know? But yeah, I think it's just that it's a part of who I am. And I think that who you are influences your art and influences your decisions and, you know, every aspect of you. So I think it's really as simple as that, you know?
I have been fortunate to get listeners to this show from 167 countries around the world over the more than 12 years of Now Hear This Entertainment. So for anybody who's listening in any country other than Norway, give us an example, Hannah, of something that you said, I don't even notice it until someone points it out to me. What would be something that you could teach us about? This is obviously a Norwegian influence when you hear me do this or that. And it may not even be musical related.
I don't know if this is a good example, but like, I think Norwegians, when they joke, sometimes they don't really change their voice. Like, they'll do very understated, sarcastic jokes, but they're just kind of said normally and you just kind of understand. And then I started doing this in English with my like new friends in college, and they were like, Hannah, we don't know when you're joking and when you're serious. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I thought about it and I was like, wait, that might be some of that Norwegian cultural influence.
Well, at what age did you start songwriting?
I think like formally songwriting, I would say probably like 12 maybe. I kind of like when I was little, I would just sing my thoughts out loud to like random melodies that I came up with, and then I would like little small like tunes or like things where I would just like improvise stuff and be like, oh, I wrote a song, you know. So I guess I was, the songwriting roots bug, whatever you want to call it, was there like as long as I can remember. But it wasn't until like around COVID that I actually like sat down at like my piano and was like, hey, like I want to write a pop song with a whole structure and like chords and yeah.
So have you noticed a pattern that, I typically come up with lyrics first. I typically come up with a hook. I typically come up with a title. I typically come up with a melody. What does all that look like when you're getting an idea for a song?
I like to say that I come up with like an idea first. Like, I don't know. It's like I'll be thinking and something will pop into my head, and it'll usually be like a melody and some lyrics and like a general like vibe. And then I like keep building on that. I'm like, okay, well, if that's the first like phrase, then like what comes after that? And okay, if this is our chorus, then what would a good verse leading into that be? And so it's a lot of the time it's lyrics and melody born together. And then from that, it's maybe I have this lyric idea, maybe I have some melody idea, and then how do I fit these lyrics into this melody? Yeah, but I like it when they're born together because it makes my life easier.
Well, I'm interested in this progression that you described where you said, you know, maybe, I don't know, I was possibly around, say, 12 years old, and I would sing my ideas, my thoughts out loud, and then it graduated to all of a sudden COVID hits and you say, okay, I got to really formalize the structure and actually write pop music. Was there something, Hannah, was it YouTube videos? Was it, I did get connected with a producer. I did get connected with a songwriter where you got, I'm holding up air quotes, formal training to understand, okay, if I'm really going to be a songwriter, if I'm really going to be an artist, I need to put this together in an organized fashion. Even if you knew, you know, verse, chorus, and a bridge and things like that, you still need someone. So how did all that evolve to the point where we're talking in the summer of 2026 and you've got an EP coming out, you already did an album 2 years ago. Obviously, you've got your songwriting muscle really well flexed.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty like self-taught, I would say. I didn't really like watch YouTube videos or talk to anyone. I wasn't, when I started writing songs, I had no plans of becoming a songwriter or a singer necessarily. It was just that I wanted to get something that was inside of me out of me, and I'd been listening to pop music. I'd sort of observed that there was a verse, and then usually there was a chorus, and then another verse, and like, you know, I just sort of like observation a lot, and then I wanted to try to write something like, I guess, what I was hearing. I also like, I did a lot of musical theater at that time, so I think I had kind of like the language and sort of general musical understanding from like from singing songs and voice lessons, from being in shows. But I didn't really like, no one taught me how to write pop music, you know?
Interesting. I want to talk about one more aspect of your background and then we will move on because I know this is super important to you. What does it mean to be a proud citizen of the Muskogee Nation? And how does that identity shape your perspective as an artist and storyteller?
Yeah, so I'm a member of the Muskogee Nation. So is my mom, so is every woman, you know, as far back as, you know, one can see, has been Muskogee, and I'm a Muskogee citizen. And yeah, it's a part of my identity that I'm still very much exploring, and I wish I was more connected to than I am. But for me, being a proud member of the Muskogee Nation is really about, I guess, not being afraid to say that I am Muskogee, to identify with it, to be open about that and proud of that. And yeah, that's, it's very much a journey I'm still on. I hope that it will become a bigger and bigger part of my art as I, you know, become more in tune with that side of me. It's something that has influenced a lot of like personal writing, like things I do for myself but don't publish, or some things I do for school, but yeah.
And maybe there's a chance that it's for school or you're doing it for yourself personally, but it'll have an influence. It will eventually organically creep into your songwriting perhaps.
I hope so. Yeah.
I am joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Oklahoma by singer, songwriter, recording artist Hannah Andrea. Visit her official website at hannahandrea.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You heard her talk about Braveheart, both the single and the upcoming EP. Hannah's original music can be purchased, streamed, downloaded practically everywhere. iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, Apple Music. Check your preferred online digital music retailer or streaming service. There is also a link tree out there that Hannah has that will send you off to some of those services. Social media, look for logos, links at the top of hannahandrea.com for Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Last week, during my interview with Ion Zenka, I was giving out a thank you for three coffees being bought for me. This is in reference to buymeacoffee.com, which you hear me talking about a lot on this show. It is a fun online destination where we can meet, since all of you surely will not be in Las Vegas when I'm there next month. You will see the messages that people have written to me, how many coffees they bought me, and the post that I wrote back to them. It is a nice way to show your support for this show. You can see all of what I am talking about by going to my podcast website, nhte.net, and then tap or click on the bright yellow Buy Me a Coffee button. And this is where I like to point out that this is not a sponsor. They are not paying me to talk about them. And in fact, they in all likelihood do not even know that I am talking about them. It is merely a way for us to feel a little more closely connected. Hannah, I know we are in the middle of summer, but if I have this correct, you actually are a college student. It's super impressive that you're doing everything that we've been talking about music-wise. But I have to ask, how do you manage the demands of being a student at Princeton University while recording music, writing songs, creating content, and building an international audience?
It's definitely a lot. It's a hard question, though. I don't know. I think I do a lot of writing and creation over breaks when it's more easy for me to meet with people and all those things. And during school year, I just, you know, do my best to listen to mixes, finalize things, film social media content and all of that. And yeah, I'm very lucky to be surrounded by people who understand everything that I'm, you know, doing and are supportive of that. Yeah, it's definitely a lot, but I'm used to being busy. I'm used to having a lot of things going on, so we make it work.
Well, but similarly, earlier when I asked you about having grown up in a bilingual household with parents who balanced artistic passions and professional careers, you did mention time management. So clearly, there was a foundation from your parents where when it came to this, it doesn't make it easy, but maybe it makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah. I think, you know, I grew up, I always wanted to be doing all these things. I have so many like interests and I'm so passionate about what I do that I was always, you know, taking a billion activities and being in shows and, you know, doing all these things. And at the same time, trying to like get the best grades and really do well in school and all that stuff. So, I've always been very busy, and so I just continue being very busy, you know.
Well, I wonder what your degree is that you're pursuing at Princeton, because if you're going to tell me that it's in the music program, then this question will kind of be irrelevant. But if it's not, I wonder how many people there know about the recording artist side of Hannah Andrea. And I understand that certainly right now we're in the middle of summer, and that as the EP comes out in August, that's probably when classes will be starting back up. So I wonder, will there be attention? Is it, it's too big of a school? Just comment on all that, because I am fascinated by so much that you are doing in the music world. And yet here you are, this college student by day during the fall and the spring.
Yeah. So I am pursuing a degree in music at Princeton. And yeah, I would say a lot of people, or like my friends at least, know that I write music and release music and all of that. So I would say it's something people are aware of, but it's not something that like everybody knows or anything. I guess it's just something that like I've brought up over time and various friend groups and all that stuff. So, but yeah, it'll be fun to be releasing a full EP and all that. It's very exciting.
Are there moments in your friendships where one of your friends will start to tell you something and stop themselves and say, "You can't put this in your next song, by the way. I don't want you writing about this. I'm just trying to share as two friends."
Actually, I haven't gotten any of that, no.
Not yet. Not until this interview comes out.
then they'll be thinking twice.
Well, I want to delve a little bit more into your songwriting. Talk to me about perfectionism, mental health, self-worth, and why embracing imperfections has become central to your songwriting.
I think like I definitely am a perfectionist. I still am. I just always want things to be the best that they can be. I don't like having regrets and stuff, so I guess I figure if I do it the best I know I can do it, and then that I just have to live with that, and that's the best it can be, So I always like put a lot of effort into everything. And I think embracing imperfections is something I've been chasing a little bit, just because I think it can be a lot healthier sometimes to let go and be okay with things more. And that's something that I aspire to learn how to do, and hope that I slowly am learning how to do. I think I've been a lot better over the last few years at over the last year or so at prioritizing myself and taking time for me and all that, which is something I'm still learning how to do, with still maintaining time management and all those things.
Well, I wonder, has the fact that you are a perfectionist, that lends itself to really spending a ton of time not being satisfied with a song that you write? And where I'm going with this is, audience, if you heard a couple of interviews that I did when I was out in Las Vegas in April, they actually came out in May. It was episode 640 with Thaddeus Corea and episode 641 with Daniel Keller. And this theme came up on both of those interviews about artists who think they don't need a producer, they can self-produce. And so, Hannah, I wonder, does working with a producer kind of help you let go of those chains that otherwise might bind you and say, no, this song, it's still not done. It's still not done. It's still not done. I got to rewrite. I got to change this. I don't like this section.
Well, definitely working with other people, it gives you deadlines, it gives you things you need to meet, and so you can't just keep agonizing over something forever, because at a certain point, you have to send it off, and it has to be released, and all that stuff. So I do think that, like, in that sense, having that structure helps overcome perfectionism a bit. I think it is also difficult with perfectionism, like collaborating with other people sometimes, especially if it's a song that, like, you started off writing yourself, and it was very much like has developed into a certain thing in your mind, that like then you hear the words that somebody else does on it, and you're like, wait, that's not what I imagined. And then you have to figure out, well, what did I imagine? And or just learn to embrace this other beautiful thing that it's become. So I think that's been an obstacle for me, just like having one thing in my head and just having to learn that the thing in my head doesn't necessarily like exist. If that makes sense.
Let's stay there because this is an interesting conversation as it relates to you do hire a producer to produce and you put your faith and trust in the fact that, okay, this is what they do. They know what's best and they are looking out for my best interest. But at the end of the day, you are the artist and your name is on it. And as you just started to describe, if you wrote the song or at least started writing it, you are going to have a real strong feeling about it. And when they start to produce it in a way that really starts to get away from that, I think you do get challenged with, okay, I've got an issue here because I am the artist, my name is on it, and even though this person is an established producer, I don't know that I want it going out the way that they're suggesting. I think is that what you're saying? That you have to make that decision?
I guess to some extent, I think it's never that extreme for me, because I'm lucky to work with producers who really take my opinion into account, and I work very closely a lot of the time on selecting sounds, on all those things, and they're very open to my opinion and all that stuff. So it's not like
Okay.
people are taking my songs and running away and making something else. It's just that, like, I think when something's not concrete, it can be anything. And sometimes it's not completely clear what it is, but then when you hear it, when you've made it, it is something. And then it's like, does the something match the feeling that you had imagined and all that stuff? And like, but yeah, I think some of those feelings are still there of like, okay, now I have this new thing, and maybe it's not exactly what I expected to make. And how does that make me feel,
I love the answer that you just gave because I was reading between the lines, and what you actually described is what you did is you underscored the importance of having a good relationship with your producer because it sounds like you have that. And unfortunately, there are producers out there who will metaphorically pat the artist on the head and say, run along, I know what I'm doing, you just got to trust me on this. So that's good to hear. I mentioned back in the intro the tremendous numbers that you were putting up on YouTube. I think there's a teaching moment here in that I would love for you to share about how building a YouTube audience of over 400,000 subscribers and more than 36 million combined video views prepared you for a career in original music, and by the way, what you learned along the way.
Yeah, well, the fun thing about the YouTube audience is, like, it's all built from my music and my music videos mostly. And yeah, it's been a really fun thing to have such an audience on YouTube, because something I love, especially coming from like a theater background, is the visual side of things. And it's really fun for me when I can incorporate like maybe a little bit of acting, or, you know, like at least just some performance element to it. And I really enjoy that. And I have a video team here that I really, really love working with. And so it's a really fun thing for me to create. So I've been very happy that people are enjoying the music videos as much as I'm enjoying them.
Well, I was going to say that I wonder if something that you learned along the way is, this is a visual medium, I'm a visual person, especially coming from musical theater, but, and then the fact that you mentioned that there's a team that works on your videos, as much as I embrace this, as much as I really want this to be a big part of my music career, I'm not a video producer. I'm not a videographer. I'm not a video editor. So I can be artistically involved, but I do have to leave it to the pros to make these videos look great.
Yeah, I wish I had that skill. It was something I always enjoyed dabbling with in like early high school, middle school, but I have no editing skills or filming skills. So it's really fun to work with other people on that. And I think what's nice about the people I work with is that it's very collaborative. It's very open to my ideas. I got to direct one of the videos, A Happy Place, from my previous album.
Wow.
I get to be involved in it, obviously. It's really fun for me. But yeah, it is another thing where I get to like collaborate with more people, and it's really fun.
Does that feel like, okay, good, I'm learning a different part of the business the more that you get involved in music videos, and like you say, even getting to direct one of them?
Yeah. I think it's a different part of the business. It's also a different part of just creativity and a different way to explore storytelling. Mm. And I'm very grateful that I get to do that.
Yeah, I would think that as the songwriter, it's a lot easier for you to convey, well, we really want to do something visually here where, and then you say, when I wrote the song, what I meant in that lyric is I was talking about X, so this is a good way for us to display it on screen.
For sure. I'm a very literal person sometimes, so I'm always trying to find ways to connect the songs to their, I guess, original stories and make that connection. But it's also fun sometimes to just do something that's more artistic, that's more how are we editing to the movement, and like just creating a feeling. That's been a new thing that it's fun to explore. Yeah.
So I should have asked you before, when you were talking about being a student at Princeton, is the degree that you're going for in music business, or is it in voice, or is it in something else?
A music degree at Princeton is very like general in a way. They have like music, and then you choose like a concentration within that. And I haven't chosen my concentration yet. I haven't officially chosen music either, because you don't declare until the end of your sophomore year at Princeton. But yeah, it's very loose, so I can take classes in a lot of different things that interest me, so I can learn many new skills and all of that. It'll probably be more on the music performance side. I'm assuming probably not music business. I'm honestly not sure if they offer that at Princeton. I don't think it's in the music department if they do. But yeah, it'll definitely be on the creative side.
So it sounds like you're entering your sophomore year this fall.
I am, yeah.
Okay. Back in the intro, I mentioned that beyond your solo work, you are the songwriter behind Muse, the Shakespeare Mayhem musical, which is a genre-spanning production debuting in the UK. Tell us about working on that project specifically, but then also how composing for theater has influenced your approach to songwriting and storytelling.
Yeah, Working on this project has been so fun. It's been a process that has been going on for like 2 years now, I think, 2 years. So it's been a part of my life for a long time. And I definitely think that writing for theater has expanded my like skill set as a songwriter. There's so many more things that you take into consideration when you're writing for a play and from the perspective of a character or characters, especially for our play, because our play is based on multiple Shakespeare plays, and then it also takes its own spin on the characters and all that. So I get to take into account, okay, what is the plot of these original Shakespeare plays? What is the personality of the characters in these plays? And then what is the plot of our play? What is their personality in our more slightly more modernized play? And how do these intersect? And how do I write songs that, you know, continue the story arc of the play? And like, what is needed in this moment? What are we trying to communicate? There's so many things that you get to think about. And then also you're writing like not from your perspective, your personal perspective. You're putting yourself in the shoes of these other people and thinking, okay, well, what would they say in this moment? What is going through their minds? So it's really fun because there's just, I don't know, I feel like there's a little bit more freedom in a way, a little bit more creativity, and it's just very different. So I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah, and audience, I mentioned before the interviews that I did in Las Vegas with Daniel Keller and Thaddeus Corea. I'm going to put links to both of those interviews on the show page for Hannah's episode on nhte.net. Thaddeus Corea, he talked about something, Hannah, that you're describing, which is there is a big difference when you go away from, let's say, commercial songwriting to something like theater, or he was talking about. And boy, oh boy, audience, don't throw rotten eggs at your listening device. I'm just having a moment here where I can't think of the word, but a movie such as Little Shop of Horrors. In other words, he and his wife wrote something like that. I can't remember what the term is for that type of film. I don't want to say a rockumentary, but the fact is that he was saying that it's very different because in commercial songwriting, you do repeat phrases. When you write something like the project that him and his wife did, you don't go back and repeat verses and repeat choruses and things like that because you're telling a story that has to move through an entire film. So it can probably work for you and against you, Hannah, I would think, when it comes to this theater writing that you've been doing, which, by the way, is that something you did for Princeton? I have to imagine it's outside of it if it's been going on for a couple years. And you only just completed your freshman year.
Yeah, it's separate from Princeton. It actually came out of my high school, Interlochen Arts Academy up in Michigan. Yeah, I went there for boarding school, and it was we were cast in this showcase, I guess, where we were supposed to explore Shakespeare's monologues and songs that were inspired by Shakespeare. And then we kind of grew that concept into devising a whole play around it, and yeah, it just kind of kept growing. I kept writing more songs for it. We performed it at Lincoln Center last year,
Whoa.
and now we've really expanded the script for the Fringe Festival.
Whoa.
And I've added more songs. So yeah, that was that came out of Interlochen, and yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'm updating my mental list. So now it's Michigan, Oklahoma, New Jersey. There's the producer in Los Angeles. You're from Norway. You've used a producer in Sweden. My gosh. But so then explain to me this production debuting in the UK. It did debut in the UK. It's going to, and how did it reach that far?
Yeah, it's debuting at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in not too long, in August. And yeah, it's funny. It's the show has really kind of snowballed, and I think it's more just that like people get talking to each other. We want to take the play further and try and decide what the next best step is for that, to get it to more audiences, to give it a further life. And at some point, someone suggested that the Fringe Festival would be a really good place for this show. And then the process of getting it to the Fringe got started. And yeah, it's very, very exciting. And it's pretty cool to have a show that started at a high school in Michigan get taken all the way over to Scotland for the Fringe Festival. Crazy.
Yeah, you read my mind because as listening to you say that, I thought to myself, no, wait a minute. Didn't she say that this started out as something that was done through her high school? And here we are talking about it ending up that someone's going to be doing a production of it in the UK. This is, I don't know, maybe you're going to tell me you're giving us too much credit. It's not that uncommon. But to me, this is quite an achievement for you and the others involved.
Yeah, from my perspective, this is uncommon. It definitely feels like an achievement for me and all the students who were writing that show together and, you know, performing it. And I think it's such a win for all of us. And of course, also an achievement for all the other people who have come on over time and pushed this show further and, you know, and made the connections and made these things actually happen. You know, it's such a team effort. So many people involved. And I think I'm really proud of everyone because it's really cool.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. In a minute or two, I am going to ask you to talk about your song called Get Off Your Phone. But before you tell us about the song itself, because of your age, I think it's important that the audience hears firsthand from you why digital disconnection matters to you, not to mention how you hope music can encourage more authentic human connection.
I think digital disconnection is an important topic because it leads into like so many moments in our life. And I feel like it can take away like a part of what it is to like exist together, like in a moment. I say that because the song was inspired by when I was hanging out with these group of friends and we don't see each other very often, but we were all just kind of sitting there and everybody was on their phones and we weren't really talking or anything. And I remember just thinking like, oh, like we could be going out and doing something together fun right now and making memories and being creative and all those things. But instead we're sitting here scrolling on our phones and that's kind of sad to me. So I think it's not just in moments like that. It expands to other things too. Just, you know, anytime you choose to, you know, be on your phone instead of going out and doing something that will be memorable to you. And I'm guilty of this too. It's just something I've been thinking about a lot and it's kind of sad in a way.
Yeah, I often hear people make the observation of going to a restaurant and look at a table and see a family sitting there and all five family members are all looking at their phone. It kind of makes me think of my wife and I just finished watching season 3 of White Lotus, and there was a family in there that it was such a big deal for the dad and the children to say, oh my gosh, we have to hand our phones over the whole time that we're staying at this resort. So it's a very astute observation by you. Audience, by the way, I want to give you a little request. It's really bothering me that I can't come up with the word that Thaddeus Correa used. It's not his word. It's something very common out there. The fact that I'm drawing a blank, I just looked up my notes from the Thaddeus Correa interview and I can't put my finger on what that word is that is used to describe films that are entirely musical, such as Little Shop of Horrors. So if you're listening to this episode on Spotify, comment on the episode on Spotify and tell me what that word is that I'm struggling to put my finger on. In the meantime, we're going to close with Hannah's original song called Get Off Your Phone, which came out in late April. Above and beyond what you just told us about digital disconnection, Hannah, before I let you go and we play that track, share with the audience first all about this one, if you would, please. When did you write it? Do you remember maybe where you were when you first got the idea for it? Did it change much once you took the song into production? And by the way, audience, there is an official music video for this song.
Yeah, that's funny because I had the idea for this song years before we ever wrote it.
Wow.
And when I had the idea for it, I don't remember where I was, but I was thinking like, oh, this is going to be like a like edgy, like dark pop sound, you know, like very pop and all that stuff. And that is not what this song is at all. The way it's become now, it's more like a 2000s pop rock thing, I think, guess. But yeah, I brought in this concept, this idea to the songwrites in LA, the same one that Braveheart came out of. And it was something I brought up. I was like, I've been wanting to write a song about this for a while. And it was so funny because everybody could instantly like relate to that feeling, to that idea, and was like, yes, let's make a song. And we just had so much fun, like being silly, and coming up with silly moments for the song, little jokes and memories and all that stuff for this one. So it's really fun. I hope you enjoy it.
And making the video, I'm sure, was a lot of fun too, yes?
Yes, I love making the video. I got to film it with one of my very good friends, so being on set was really lots of spontaneous moments. I had so much fun.
I'm sure it varies from one to the next, but let's just talk about the video for Get Off Your Phone in particular. I'm referring to where was that video done? Was it in the New Jersey, New York area? Was it in Oklahoma? Was it somewhere else?
It was in Oklahoma. Yeah, it was in Oklahoma last summer.
Well, Hannah, I'm going to congratulate you early. I know that the EP doesn't come out until next month, but best of luck with the Braveheart EP. Thank you ever so much for making time to be on the podcast. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed talking to you too.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to singer, songwriter, recording artist Hannah Andrea. Again, do visit her official website at hannahandrea.com. As I mentioned earlier, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Today, you heard her talking about Braveheart, both the single and the forthcoming EP. Hannah's original music can be purchased, streamed, downloaded practically everywhere: iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, Apple Music, the list goes on. Check your preferred online digital music retailer or streaming service. Social media, look for logos, links at the top of hannahandrea.com for Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. I have already followed her, and I know she would appreciate you doing the same. Be sure to let her know that you heard her and her music on Now Hear This Entertainment. And as I mentioned before, there is also a link tree that she has out there that has plenty of helpful links for you. That will do it for episode 649. Thanks ever so much for listening. I will send you out today with another song from Hannah Andrea. This is the one she just talked about. It's called Get Off Your Phone.
Today I saw a shooting star, not far from where you are, and all the places we used to go. Once again, try answer on your phone. I guess I'll never get a mention, 'cause you're vitamin deficient now. Guess you missed the point of living. Someday you'll find out that by the time you open your eyes, the moment is passing you by. Life could be great, but you wouldn't know. You'll never know.